And then we'll begin. Lord God, we come into your house today anxious to hear your word. We are filled with the desire to know more of you, to comprehend your holiness, to understand your will for our lives, and to rededicate ourselves anew to following you. We pray, Father, that you would use your word this morning to change us, that we would be different people walking out than when we came in. And we pray that our encounter with your word and with your spirit would not leave us unchanged. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. So I'm calling this lesson Man's Reaction to the Holiness of God. And the topic this morning is holiness. And we'll see in the mainly two stories that we're going to look at today how man reacts to proximity to God's holiness. So we have a children's book. Now, you can tell that this children's book has been used. And Stephen's smiling over there because I read this book to Stephen and to all of them. Beth Ann was looking through it this morning on the counter. So I'm going to read you a little bit out of this children's book. And if the kids want to come down and sit in the front down here, they can do that. Or you can stay back there. Just whatever you want to do. So this is the story of the wind that obeyed. Here comes Bronson. Okay. You want to come down, Nathaniel? Well, come on down. All right. Okay, guys. So this is the story out of Mark 4:35, and you can turn in your Bibles, big people back there. This is the story of the wind that obeyed. Okay? Come, said Jesus, get into the boat. Let's go for a ride. And there's the boat. Here's Jesus. It's all his disciples. This is where the book has been loved so much that it's coming apart. Jesus got into the boat. Jesus' friends got into the boat. Splash went the little waves. Splash, splash. Jesus' friends began to make the boat go. Pull, push. Pull, push. But Jesus was tired, and he lay down in the back of the boat and went to sleep. I love the colors in this book. Now, while the boat was going, the wind started to blow. Am I doing that okay? You ever heard the wind blow? Yep. And look at what it's doing to the ocean here. It's making waves, isn't it? It blew the men's hair. It blew their clothes. It blew the water. Can y'all tell I'm a daddy? Soon, the little boat was rolling up and down, up and down. This is where the parents start to get seasick right here. Then some water came into the boat. Splash! Went the big waves. Splash! Splash! Jesus' friends were wet. They were afraid, too. Let's tell Jesus, they said. Save us, Lord. Wake up. Wake up. Now I'm going to put this on hold. I'm going to scroll right over here. We're going to tell a little bit of the story. We'll come back, okay? So because of the geography, you guys can stay up here if you want to, or you can go back. stay up here. You're not that far from your parents, so. So the disciples and Jesus head across the Sea of Galilee, and because of the geography of the Sea of Galilee, it's in this giant bowl, and it's 600 feet below sea level, and because of the geography, the wind can take on hurricane-like characteristics. And water was breaking into the boat, like we saw in the picture there, right? The water was coming in. These giant waves were crashing into the boat so that the boat was taking on water. There's water in the bottom of the boat now, which is not good, right? Now, you need to remember that these disciples were, some of them were seasoned fishermen. They really knew about boats. They made their living in boats, right? And yet, even these guys were afraid. This was a big storm. And they were panicking. That means they were afraid. And you kind of saw the, these guys don't look like they're having a great time out there, do they? Now, what frightens us in a situation like this? We're usually frightened because we're powerless to stop it. We're frightened by the sheer power of the wind and the waves. Now, Sigmund Freud hypothesized that human beings came up with the idea of God because of these great forces of nature. That all this wind and this wave, it's weather. Right? And so human beings came up with the idea of God because they had to have some way of explaining it, and they had to have somebody to appeal to in the middle of this. And that's kind of crazy talk, as we see in this story here. Now, what Jesus and the disciples are experiencing is very much like a hurricane. The wind is blowing very, very hard. The waves are gigantic, and it's very small and localized, but it's a big, big storm. And even these seasoned fishermen are afraid. Now, what is Jesus doing? Where is Jesus in this story? You see him back here? He's back in the back of the boat there. What's he doing? He's sleeping. Now, I always found that was kind of amazing. I mean, the boat is tossing around like a cork on this ocean. And you can see, you know, I don't know if the waves were this big. They probably were. So the boat is like, I don't know if you've ever been in a boat where the waves are this big, but it is not something you sleep through generally. You know, if you're out in a 10-mile wide tricky body of water, and are you generally asleep and unconcerned? No, you're like looking around, going, "What's going on here? Are we gonna make it across to the other side?" Now, Jesus is asleep, and this probably speaks to the fact that he was very, very tired. And Jesus had been healing people all day. He'd been teaching people all day. And he was tired. He was exhausted. And this speaks to us of Jesus' humanity. Jesus was flesh and blood, just like us. Jesus was tired. But it also speaks of his complete lack of fear. Jesus was not afraid. You and I would be just like these guys, right? We would have the saucer eyes, right? We would have the freaking out look on our faces. That's what we'd be like. So they woke him up. And they kind of got onto him a little bit. If you look in the passage here in your Bibles, in verse 38, it says, they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, those are very interesting words. Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing? Think about what they're doing there. They're getting on to Jesus and giving him a hard time because they think he doesn't care that they're about to die. I think that's interesting. They think Jesus could care less. They take his sleeping for a lack of care. Now, are they resting in Jesus' ability to take care of them? Do they think that Jesus can take care of them? And in a way, yes, they're asking him. If you look in the other passages, you know, the men are asking Jesus to save them. But do you think if they really thought that Jesus could save them, that they'd be acting like this? You know, they're not calmly waking him up and going, you know, Jesus, we'd like you to take care of this. Can you please fix this? They are frightened, they're anxious, they're upset. They just want him to wake up and care. And I don't know that they necessarily think he's going to calm the waters, which is what he's about to do. He rebukes them in verse 40 and says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" They think that they've found something that Jesus is not in control of. So Jesus wakes up, and he doesn't get defensive, and he doesn't tear into them. He rebukes the wind. Now, this is one of my favorite parts of the story here, guys. So, Jesus opened his eyes. He saw the water splash. He heard the wind blow. But he said, "Why are you afraid? I'm here." You guys are all listening to him, aren't they? And then Jesus talked to the wind. He talked to the water. He said, "Shh, be still." And do you know what happened? Here's my favorite picture. The wind stopped. The wind stopped blowing. The water stopped splashing. They both got still could be. Remember these big waves back here? What does the sea look like now? It looks like glass, doesn't it? We'll come back. So Jesus rebukes the wind. Literally, he reprimanded and admonished the wind. He corrected the wind. And the result is that the sea became like glass. The wind stopped, and this terrible churning cauldron became as still could be. Miles and miles of churning water becomes as still as a mirror. Now, this is real power, isn't it? If you're into physics, if you're into science, you know that this storm had tremendous energy. And it turned this huge Sea of Galilee into this, you know, tossing and turning cauldron of water. And Jesus, just by speaking to the wind, Jesus made it stop. Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves, and they completely stop. And now Jesus chides them. Now Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, these guys had been watching Jesus for months now. If you read in your Bible right before this story, Jesus had been healing people, he'd been teaching, he'd been performing miracles in front of these disciples. They'd seen it all. And they'd watched him made the lame to walk and the blind to see. Now, they obviously have become a bit jaded over Jesus' power. Or maybe they thought, well, surely he can't have this much power to make this storm stop. Maybe he's just, maybe they're just thinking, well, he's going to wake us up and he's going to make us feel better. Or maybe he's going to wake up and he's going to help us bail the boat out. But I don't think they expected this. Now, what would you expect the disciples' response to be? What would you do if you were one of the disciples in the boat and Jesus calmed the sea like this? I would expect great relief. I would expect some high fives. I'd expect some, "Woo! That was cool! Yes!" Maybe a Tiger Woods, "Yes! Jesus made the storm go away! Woo-hoo!" But how did they react to this display of power? I like this picture too. Guys are all standing around. Jesus' friends looked around. Everything was quiet and safe. Now listen to what they say. "Who is Jesus?" They said, "Even the wind and the water do what he says." They asked the question, "Who is this man?" Now, did they know who he was? They knew who he was, didn't they? I mean, they'd been spending a lot of time with him. They knew who Jesus was, but that's not the question they were asking. You know, if you look in your Bibles, it says they became very much afraid. Now, they'd been afraid before. We saw them in the boat with the big eyes, remember? They were afraid, and they were so afraid they woke Jesus up and said, "Lord, save us." They were afraid then. But if you look in verse 41, it says they became very much afraid. And if you look in the Greek says they feared a great fear. And if you look at the Greek words, it actually says they feared a mega fear. So if you thought they were afraid before, they were much, much more afraid when the wind stopped. And they said, "Who is this Jesus?" My Bible says, "Who then is this?" One of your Bibles might say, "What manner of man is this?" Now, we're constantly evaluating people, and I don't know about you, but I do this. You're walking down the street, or maybe you get onto a MARTA train, and we're generally looking around at the people around us, and we're evaluating them. You look at them, and you kind of evaluate them. And you categorize them. And why do we do this? We do this because we're trying to figure out if they're safe. We're trying to figure out if they're going to harm us, if they're aggressive, if they're acting funny. And it's a very natural thing to do. We're putting people into categories. This person looks safe. This person looks scary. This person's acting crazy. Need to steer clear of him. Now, the disciples' reaction here is interesting. The King James Version says, "What manner of man is this?" Now, it's an interesting question from a group of men who have been living and traveling with Jesus for months. Who is this? What kind of man is this? And what they're failing to do here is they're failing to categorize Jesus. They can't put him in a box in their mind. They're saying, what kind of man is this? That the wind and the sea obeys him. Jesus has just blown their categories. Is he safe? Possibly not. If he's got this much power. They are filled with great fear. I'm going to finish my story here for the benefit of the people in the front row. I know who Jesus is. Do you? Jesus made the wind. Jesus made the water. Jesus is God. This book's cool because it says, "What did you learn?" Jesus took care of his friends. Jesus is God. He can take care of you too. That's a good story, isn't it? Okay, y'all can go back and sit down with your folks. The disciples realized in a moment that the only thing scarier than being in a storm on the Sea of Galilee is having the living God in the boat with you. The disciples came in contact with a holy God, Jesus Christ, Holy One of God, incarnate Word. As the book here says, Jesus made the wind. Jesus made the water. Jesus is God. Now, this is a person that has so much power that by his very word, he can turn a storm-tossed sea into a mirror, and they can't deal with it. There's no celebration. There are no high fives. There's no laughter and triumphalism. There's no spiking the football. They are filled with fear, with a great fear. Now, this is the normal human response to a holy God. Get me out of here. Now, we see this in the Old Testament. Turn back to Exodus chapter 20. Now, we all know Exodus chapter 20 is where the Ten Commandments are, right? So, Exodus 20, the children of Israel have made it to Mount Sinai. And actually, if you go back into chapter 19 and verse 18, we get a little bit of the picture of what's happening here. This is like that movie, The Ten Commandments, right? Now, Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now look at this, verse 21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." So God is